Our worship team may go down. You stand with me all over this house today. Hey, amen. I got something on my heart I want to share with the body of Christ. Hey, amen. Turn with me today to the book of Acts, the 26th chapter. Acts 26, we begin reading in the first verse. When you get there, you can shout out amen real loud. If you do not have your Bibles, the word of the Lord is provided on the screen behind me. Amen. We encourage you to bring the word of the Lord to church with you. If you do not have a Bible, please see us. We'll make sure that you got a Bible. Amen. We don't want any household in this church without the word of the Lord in it. Amen. So we want to make sure everyone has a Bible. Acts the 26th chapter. I want to preach to you for just a few moments today about the Apostle Paul. Paul was falsely accused by the high priest and the chief Jews in Judea. And Festus, who was the governor of Judea, brought him before King Agrippa. And here before King Agrippa, Paul tells the story of his conversion. Turn with me to the book of Acts, the 26th chapter. The word of the Lord said, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Especially because I know thee to be an expert in all the customs and all the questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I have lived a Pharisee." The sixth verse, the Apostle Paul makes a profound statement to King Agrippa. He said, "But now I stand and I am judged for the hope of the promise that is made of God unto our fathers. You know me, King Agrippa, all those that were Jews, all those that know the Jewish customs know that I was one of the best Pharisees that there ever was. But now I'm standing on the promises of God Now I'm standing on the promises of God today. Hallelujah. Here Paul was explaining his conversion to King Agrippa. He was explaining that his current condition was way different than his previous position. I want to preach to you today for just a few moments on this topic. My previous position. My previous position. Lay your Bibles down in your seats. Put your hands together for the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord today. Let's give Him some praise in this house. Come on, somebody, let's lift Him up. Thank you, Lord, for changing us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for repositioning us. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving us where we was at. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a new condition and getting rid of our prior position. Lord, we love you in this house today. We give you the praise. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. It belongs to you today, Jesus. So we magnify your name. God bless you. You may be seated for just a few moments today. I'm asking you that you keep that spirit of worship during this preaching today. Amen. We want to worship the Lord in this house. I want to preach to you for just a few moments today on this topic, my previous position. Here we see one of the greatest conversions recorded in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul. The man that wrote more books than any other writer in our Bible. The Apostle Paul. Amen. There are many people in this room today that are prime examples that your failures don't have to be final. Come on. My God, I thought I'd get more than two amens on that one. I thought I was in an apostate. There are a lot of examples in this room today that if it don't kill you, it's going to make you better. And your failures are not your future. Your failures are not final. Your failures don't have to be the end. Your failures can be something to build on. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. He said, you're talking about what I used to be, but I'm talking about what I am right now by the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! Come on, you're talking about my previous position, but I'm a child of God, and I'm standing upon His promises now. Woo! My previous position. We're talking about one of the greatest conversions recorded in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, the greatest of all Pharisees. Amen. And here is a man that persecuted the church of God and was on his way to Damascus to desire a letter to further persecute God's people. And here he is standing falsely accused. Anybody in this room ever been falsely accused? Come on. I know there's more people in here. I was falsely accused last week. Probably this week too. I just don't know about it yet. But that's all right. Let God be true and every man a liar. Huh? Amen. The Apostle Paul was falsely accused. Amen. And here he is, the chiefest of the Jews and the high priest. And they've come to the governor of Judea and they've made all of these accusations against the man of God. And now he finds himself defending the gospel of Jesus Christ before King Agrippa. Amen. I want you to know something today. There are a lot of people in this room today that have experienced a lot of failures. And let me tell you something today, folks. You ain't had all your failures yet. I hate to knock you down off of your high horse, and I hate to be the one to tell you, but you ain't through messing up yet. You ain't through making a few mistakes yet. And you ain't through with failures yet. Failures are a part of life. And sometimes we mess up. And sometimes we make mistakes, but our failures don't have to be final. Our failures can be something to build upon. And let me tell you something, that devout attitude that the Apostle Paul had when he was the greatest of all the Pharisees, you know what he did? He said, I know I failed. I know I was wrong. I know I made a mistake. But as good as I was at doing that, I'm going to be a better child of God than I ever was a Pharisee. I'm not going to let my failures define me. I'm not going to let my failures destroy me. I'm going to take my failures and I'm going to build upon them, and I'm going to be a good child of God today. Hallelujah. He said, you want to talk about my previous position? Let me tell you about my previous position. I was on my way to Damascus desiring a letter to further persecute the church of God. And all of a sudden, a light shined from heaven and knocked me down off of my high horse. And he said, now I'm standing upon the promises of God. You want to talk about my previous position? Let's talk about my current condition. Amen. Let me tell you something. The devil's all about reminding you of your previous position. When the devil comes knocking on your door, when the devil comes wanting to talk about your previous position, you need to remind him of your current condition. Come on, somebody. You need to remind him, I used to be that, but I'm not that no more. I used to be a sinner. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a liar. But now I'm a child of God. I'm standing up on His promises. I'm built up on a rock. I'm standing up on His promises today. Woo! When the devil reminds you of your previous position, remind him of your current condition. Amen. That's what you got to learn to fight fire with fire. Amen. Because fighting fire with anything else ain't going to work. Amen. And there's a lot of people in this room today that have been through so much junk. So much stuff. Listen, I could take this microphone and start in the front of the corner of this church and pass it around, and it'd be next Sunday at the same time, and we still would not have got through everything that God has done for everybody in this room. That's how good God has been to us. That's how good God has been to us today. Listen to me. Don't get caught up in your failures. Don't let the enemy continually remind you of your prior position. Listen, you need to think about what God is doing in your life. You need to think about where God is taking you. Listen to me today. Michael Jordan missed over 3,000 shots in his career. Michael Jordan missed 30 game-winning shots. That didn't stop him from taking game-winning shots. You know why? Because he was a champion. You know why? Because he was a warrior. You know why? Because he was a winner. And Michael Jordan went on to be one of the greatest basketball players in NBA history. He didn't keep him from taking the game-winning shots. Listen, Milton Hershey, me and my dad was talking about this yesterday at his house. Milton, he had a great big Hershey candy bar laying on his counter that he did not need. So I obliged to help him with his problem. Okay? I said, Dad, did you know that Milton Hershey started 3 candy companies and watched them all fail before he started Hershey Chocolates? He said, no, I didn't know that. I said, yeah, that's true. Read it. Milton Hershey started 3 candy factories, 3 candy companies, and he watched them all fail. But you know what? He didn't quit. He didn't give up because he had some failures under his belt. He didn't quit. He kept going because he knew he had something good on his hand. You need to get it down in your spirit today. What God has given you is worth fighting for. What God has given you is worth challenging yourself for. Don't give up because you had a few failures in your life. It's time to remind the devil when he brings up your previous position. Let's talk about my current condition today. Milton Hershey watched 3 candy companies fail to the ground before he started Hershey's Chocolates. Walt Disney was fired from a newspaper because he was told he lacked creativity. My little grandbaby would beg to differ. When we put Mickey Mouse on that TV for her to watch, she thinks Walt Disney has all kinds of creativity. But he was fired because somebody told him he didn't have what it took. Listen to me today. The devil's telling some of you, you ain't got what it takes. The devil's telling some of you, you ain't going to make it. The devil's telling some of you, your past is too large. The devil's telling some of you, let me remind you of your previous position. Let me remind you of what you used to do. But God is saying, forget about it. It's under the blood, and you're a winner today. You're talking about your current condition. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, he was told that he lacked creativity and that he would never be a winner in that industry. But today he's the greatest known to all of us when it comes to creativity. Vera Wang did not even make her first dress until she was 40 years old. 40 years old. Some of us think our life is over at 40 years old. Huh? And if you're 50 or 60 or 70, man, you're just thinking, my God, I'm just buying time. Right? Folks, listen to me today. It ain't over until God says it's over. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you're 80 in this place. If there's folks up here that are trying to come to God and you come here and you lay your hands on them, God will use you when you're 90, 100, 110. It don't matter as long as God's blessings is upon your life. Don't concentrate on your failures. Concentrate upon what God is doing in your life today. Amen. Your failures are not final. If they're not fatal, they're not final. All right? Listen to me. If there's breath in your body, there's hope that God can use you to do the miraculous today. Your failures are not fatal, church. Your previous position is not your current condition. Listen to me today. Abraham Lincoln had a business fail and go under. He suffered a nervous breakdown. He lost a presidential bid. He's seen all of these things come to pass, but instead of laying down, instead of giving up, he said these words. My greatest concern is not whether I have failed. My greatest concern is whether I am content with my failure. See, the thing you got to ask yourself about your failures is, have you accepted them? Because if you have not accepted failure, God can still use you. If you haven't accepted failure, God still has a plan for you. Amen. And Abraham Lincoln went on to be the 16th president of the United States of America. And today is one of the most famous presidents that we ever had. All of these people overcame failures in their natural lives. But I come to talk to some apostolic people today that God wants us to overcome failures in our spiritual life. God doesn't care whether you are a cashier at a Walmart or a financial broker at a bank. God doesn't care what you choose to do with your life. What God cares about today is your faithfulness. What God cares about today is your current condition. What God cares about today is, do you trust Him? Do you believe Him? Do you think He can do it today? Don't get caught up in your failures. God wants you to overcome your failures today. Many of us have made many mistakes along the way, but God is a builder today. God is a builder today. And all of these people overcame failures. And today God wants us to overcome failures in our spiritual lives. Church, the Lord has brought us a mighty long way. Church, the Lord, I need to say it again, has brought us a mighty long way. The Lord has been good to us. The Lord has been merciful to us. The Lord has been kind to us. We got a reason to praise Him. We got a reason to worship Him. We got a reason to lift Him high today because He's been good to us. Church, our history, our past, come on, what we've been through, it calls us to, it compels us to glorify God today. It calls us to worship God today. There's nobody on this earth that has a better reason to praise God than you do. There's nobody on this earth that has a better reason to worship God than you do. Nobody on this earth knows what God has done for you like you do. And I come to tell somebody in this house today, it's time to get over your failures. It's time to get over your past. It's time to quit thinking about all that stuff that's under the blood. And it's time to lift up your eyes unto the hills whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Come on, let's give Him some praise in this house today. Nobody has a right to praise Him like we do. Church, He called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Come on, He took us out of the miry clay and He set our feet on a rock to stay. My God, we got a reason to praise the Lord in this place today. Listen to me, it's no wonder. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. It's no wonder that Miriam, when she came up out of the bank of that river that day, when she came up on the banks of that river, first thing she did was snatch a hold of her tambourine. She looked back in those flooded waters of the Red Sea, and there lay all those Egyptians, and there lay all of their armor, and there lay the horses and the chariot. And she's looking back over her previous position, and she's saying, look what God did for me. And she takes her tambourine, start banging it on her. She begins to magnify the Lord. Nobody has a right to praise the Lord like you do. Nobody has a right to praise Him and worship Him and love Him like you do today. Woo. Glory. When she looked back over her previous position, come on, she looked back there in that Red Sea was all those Egyptians. There was those armor and swords and shields and horses and chariots and all of these things. The Lord had done fought the mightiest battle for them that they could have never won on their own. When she looked back to her previous position and she compared it to her current condition, she couldn't help but praise God. She couldn't help but praise God. You know why? Because it meant it was gratitude. It was thankfulness. It was appreciation of the goodness of God in her life. It's no wonder that David, when he came back to Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant, couldn't take five steps before he just break out in a shout. Come on, it's no wonder. You know why? Because in the mind of David, he's looking back and he's thinking on his previous position. He's looking back and he's thinking on all the victories that God gave him. He's looking back and he's thinking on all the battles that God won for him, and he couldn't help it. He had to praise God because he had the spirit of gratitude. He had the spirit of thankfulness. My God. You know what I've heard people say? Man, I've heard people say it all. I've heard people say, you know what, it don't take all that. Well, I've seen these deadbeat Christians say, it don't take all that. Ain't no need for all that exuberance. Ain't no need in getting loud. Ain't no need in getting excited. You don't have to do all that, right? You ever heard that? You don't have to do all that. Let me tell you something, you ain't got to brush them on nasty teeth either, but it sure does make your breath smell a lot better. Sure does make your breath smell a lot better. You want to know why I praise Him? I praise Him because I want to. I praise Him because I'm compelled to. I praise Him because He's done a lot for me. I praise Him because it feels good. It feels good. It feels good when I worship and praise the Lord. Woo! And it cleanses me. And it gets rid of all my filthiness. And it gets rid of all my unrighteousness. And it gets rid of all the garbage in my life. So I praise Him because I have the spirit of gratitude. I praise Him because I got the spirit of thankfulness. I praise Him because when I look back on my previous position and I compare it to my current condition, I can't help but praise Him. I can't help but thank Him. I can't help but worship Him. I can't help but love Him. I can't help but worship Him. My God, every time I look back on Egypt, I can't help but be more thankful for Canaan. Every time my mind goes back to Egypt, I keep on thinking about what God done for me. I keep on thinking about what God delivered me from. And I got to praise Him. I got to praise Him. You know why? Because my current condition is not defined by my previous position. Come on. Somebody listen to me today. We praise Him because it feels good. We praise Him because we got the spirit of gratitude. We praise Him because we're not what we used to be. We praise Him because He's brought us a long way. We praise Him because He's delivered us out of the depths of sin. We praise Him because He had mercy upon us. Praise Him because He loved us. And while we were yet sinners, God died for us. He gave His life for us. And we praise Him today because He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. We praise Him because we're reminded of our previous position. Every time I look back on Egypt, I'm so much more thankful for Canaan. Man, I look back over my life. And let me tell you something. I haven't even seen the depths of sin that some of you have. But I know that I've had some sin in my life, and I've had some stuff, and I've had some junk in my life that God was not pleased in. But let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, "He that sinneth much loveth much." And if you were one of the greatest sinners in here like Paul was, that's why Paul stood before King Agrippa that day and he said, "I'm not careful to answer thee. I'm not careful to answer thee. Listen, I'm confident where I'm standing. I'm confident in my current condition. You want to talk about my previous position? Let me tell you where I'm at right now. God shined a light in my life." Woo! Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost today. I wonder if there's anybody in this house right now that would praise the Lord for where He's brought you from. I wonder if there's anybody in this house that would get some spontaneity. I wonder if there's anybody in this house that'll say, "I praise Him because it feels good. I praise Him because it does my soul good. I praise Him because my previous position is not my current condition." Come on, let's magnify the Lord today. Let's magnify the Lord today. Hallelujah. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Man, I don't know how people that are thankful for what God has done for them don't praise Him. Listen, I don't have to defend praising the Lord. I don't have to defend worshiping the Lord. I do it because my soul is compelled to do it. My soul tells me to worship the Lord. My soul tells me to give Him the praise that He deserves. And I follow the fine examples of all the people in the Word of God. When Miriam stepped up on that bank, she had a reason to praise God. When David walked into that city with the blessings of God in that box, he had a reason to praise God. And let me tell you something. He made up in his mind, his wife, his family, his king, it didn't matter who it was, nobody was going to tell him not to praise God. Man, I wish somebody would understand today. The devil wants to remind you of your previous position. But when you look back over your previous position, you got a reason to praise God. You got a reason to worship God. Come on, somebody. It's no wonder David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Church, that's gratitude. That's thankfulness. That's appreciation for what God did for him. That's thankfulness. When he looked back, he was remembering all those victories that God had given him. And he was remembering his previous position of brokenness. He remembered the time that he came back from the land of the Philistines. And his children was gone. And his wives were gone. And the place was burnt to the ground. And he's looking back and he's remembering all this brokenness. He's remembering all this turmoil. He's remembering all this pain. He's remembering all this sorrow. And here he is walking into the city of David that holy city of Jerusalem. He's walking into the city of Jerusalem, and he's got the Ark of the Covenant with him. And he's saying the Ark of God is back in the land of the children of Israel. He could not help but praise God. He couldn't help but praise God. Because he remembered his previous position. And he realized what great things God had done for him. Church, when I compare where I'm at to where I once was, I can't help but praise the Lord. Come on, I can't help but praise Him. I'm not interested in status quo church. I'm not interested in dead church. Come on, somebody says, ain't no need in all that exuberance, ain't no need in all that praise. Yes, there is. Don't you listen to that mess. Don't you listen to that mess. Don't you listen to that mess. When Jacob was on his way, when Jacob was running from his brother Esau, and he stopped, and the Lord gave him a vision of a ladder which was had angels ascending from heaven and descending from heaven. You know what that was? That was your praise. Your praise is what catapults you into the presence of God. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Your praise. When you come here, if you sit on your hands and you don't open your mouth and you don't worship God, you have given Him no praise to inhabit. But when you come in here and you open your mouth and you worship the Lord and you put your hands together and you stomp your feet or you walk around the church or you jump up and down, whatever it is, however you want to express yourself unto the Lord will inhabit your praise. What Jacob was seeing was angels ascending, descending. And he called that place the house of God. You know why? Because the house of God is where they're supposed to be worshiped. The house of God is where they're supposed to be praise. Because we, the people of God, are supposed to have the spirit of gratitude. And when we look back over our previous position, we should always be willing to thank God where He's brought us from. I might not be where I'm going. I might not have made it to heaven yet, but I'm sure not where I've been. I'm sure not where I've been. And I know there's some people in this room that can join with me today and have the spirit of gratitude and the spirit of thankfulness and lift a praise unto the Lord and magnify Him for where He's brought you from and what He's done for you in this house today. Come on, give Him some praise in this house today. Don't it feel good? Just give Him some praise. Don't it do your soul good? Don't it do your spirit good? Don't it do your heart good when you just put your hands together and magnify the Lord? Don't listen to what man says. Worship God and it'll exalt you into His presence today. Glory to God. Man, what Paul, oh man, I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost today. I can't help it. I'm sorry, I can't help but get excited. I can't help it. Maybe He ain't done as much for you as He's done for me. I don't know. But He's done a lot for me, Brandon. He's done a lot for me. He's done a lot for you. That's why you couldn't contain yourself up here. That's why you started dancing. Didn't even know what you're doing. Because you know why it felt good? Because it was spontaneous. Because you just felt an unction to just worship the Lord. You know what the problem with people is? People are professional Pentecostals. Huh? You better break out of that mode. That mode will take you straight to hell. You better break out of that mode. You better destroy that mode. Let me tell you something. You don't just come in here looking apart. You don't just come in here just sitting in the house of God. You better come in here with worship in your heart. You better come in here with praise in your heart. You better come in here with a praise on your lips and hands that want to lift Him high. Because He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. I praise Him because it feels good. I brush my teeth because I like that minty smell when it's over. It's rid of that nastiness. Right, Ty? Huh? That's why I praise Him, as it feels good. Alright? I don't praise Him for show. I don't praise Him because I want somebody to look at me. I don't care what you think of me when I'm in the house of God. I want to worship the Lord. I want to give Him some praise. I want to give Him some glory. I got to get my praise out. When I think of my previous position and I compare it to my current condition, I'm not where I used to be. I got to let my praise out. I got to let my praise out. What Paul was saying to King Agrippa, you guys are asking me to contain myself. You guys are asking me to stop talking about him. I can't do it. That's what he's saying. Throw me in jail. Throw me in the dungeon. Do whatever you got to do. I can't contain it. I got to let it out. He's been too good to me. You don't understand. I was so misled. I had my previous position. I was going in the wrong direction. But one day God had mercy upon me. One day God shined a light upon me. He exposed the error of my ways. He told me to turn around and go in a different direction. He made me a part of the body of Christ. You're asking me to be silent, and I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to let it out. I'm sorry, King Agrippa. I'm sorry, Festus. Forget about it. Do what you got to do. I won't be silent. I won't contain it. I got to let my praise out. That's exactly what Paul was saying before those men that day. I'm asking you today, how grateful are you for what he's done for you? How thankful are you when you look back over your life and you see the depths of sin that the Lord pulled you out of? You look back and you think about the people you went to school with that are dead and gone. You think about it could have been you. How grateful are you today? How grateful are you today? Are you willing to be like David, even when it wasn't cool? Are you willing to be like David even when people opposed him? Are you willing to be like Miriam and be the first one in the bunch to break out in a shout and give the Lord some praise? Let me tell you something. Don't be the last one in the house of God to break out in a praise. Be the first one in the house of God to break out in a praise. And when you do it, other people will follow you because it'll make them think about their previous position also. Think about your previous position. Think about where God has brought you from. What Paul was saying to these men in government was, I can't do it. My gratitude is too great. My thankfulness is too much. I can't contain it. I can't sit on it. I got to thank him. I got to praise him. You don't understand what he's done for me. You don't understand where I came from. You don't understand what God has done for me when I compare my current condition to my previous position. You're going to have to excuse me if I get excited. Every time I think on Canaan, I get excited. Every time I look back on Egypt, I get excited. Every time I look back on my healing, I get excited. Every time I look back on my sickness, I get excited about my healing. Every time I look back on my moments of weakness, I get excited about my moments of strength. Every time I look back on when I was out of church and didn't have a place to go to church, I get excited about breaking bread apostolic. You know why? Because I'm thankful for my current condition. And I'm no longer in my previous position. And God has been good to me. And I'm going to give him the praise that he deserves for what he's done for me. Listen. When I look back over my life, church, and I think things over, I realize that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He gave his life for me. While I was yet a sinner, he shed his blood for me. He gave his life that I might have life and have it more abundantly. While I was yet a sinner, his grace and his mercy was searching for me. His favor was reaching for me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And while you was yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Think back on your previous position. His favor was searching for you. I'm thankful today I'm not the person that I used to be. I may not be everything that God wants me to be, but I know that God has brought me a mighty long way. And I know that God has brought you a mighty long way. And let me tell you something. As long as you... Listen, there are people in this church right now that are struggling with some things. There's people in this church. There's people under the sound of my voice. You ask yourself, you say, why can't I overcome this? Why am I still struggling with this? Let me tell you something today. That's just the devil reminding you of your previous position. Listen to me today. Quit dwelling on it. Keep serving God. Keep moving in the right direction. You might not be everything that God wants you to be. Just keep moving in the right direction. And eventually those shackles are going to fall off. Eventually those chains are going to break. Keep serving God. Keep being faithful to God. Keep worshiping Him. Keep thanking Him. Keep giving Him the praise that He deserves. Keep on thinking about your current condition. Quit dwelling on your previous position and remind the devil you're not what you used to be. And watch and see if the Lord don't finish taking you all the way to Canaan. You know, when the children of Israel on their way to Canaan, they went through a place called Marah. You know what Marah means? Means bitter water. Huh? When they come up out of that river Jordan, the first place they come to, right there where Miriam began to dance, Marah. You know what that tells me? We can dance even in our most bitterest moments. Even when you feel like you're in the belly of hell, let me tell you something. Jonah remembered God and was thanking God and asking God to give him another chance when he was in the belly of hell. Miriam was praising God in the midst of bitter waters. Come on. You can praise God through anything. Just don't get caught up in your previous position. That's the exact game that Agrippa and Festus was trying to pull over Paul's eyes. They was trying to remind him of what he used to be. And he said, no, I'm not going to contain it. It's not going to happen. I can't do it. I got to worship the Lord. I got to praise the Lord. I'm standing on His promises and I cannot contain it. So the next time you come to the house of God, stand with me all over this house. As the musicians come quickly. Church, listen. The next time you come to the house of God and your flesh is saying, man, I'm tired. Man, I'm weak. Man, I don't feel good. Man, I could be doing this at home. That is exactly when you need to break out of that mold. You need to stand up on your feet. You need to put your hands together. You need to lift them towards heaven. And you need to honor God and you need to give Him the praise that He deserves. Because that's what's going to get you through your hard times. Is learning to praise God for your current condition. To my knowledge, there's not anybody in this church that's sleeping under a bridge. God's been good to you. To my knowledge, there ain't nobody in this church that's going to die today because you haven't eaten in 3 days. God's been good to you. God's been good to you. God has brought you a mighty long ways. And I think He deserves our praise and our glory and our honor in this house today. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise today. Before you was formed in the womb, He knew you. He loved you. He adored you. He was reaching for you. Before you was formed in the womb, He done washed you in His blood. He done shed His precious blood for you. Before you was ever even conceived, God was reaching for you. My God, He gives us peace, church. He gives us joy. He gives us love. He gives us all of these wonderful things. As we get ready to sing this song unto the Lord today, I wonder if there's anybody in this house that would get out of your seat right now and say, I'm not going to get caught up in my previous position. The world, the devil, he wants to remind me of what I used to be. I'm not going to play those games with him. I'm not going to do it. I can't contain it. I'm going to keep worshiping God. I'm going to keep thanking Him. Listen, I know I got a ways to go. I know I'm not everything God wants me to be, but I'm sure enough not where, what I used to be. I wonder if there's anybody in this house today, if God's been good to you, would you get out of your seat right now, walk up to the front of this church, lift your hands towards heaven, and just tell God you're thankful today. That's what David was doing. That's what Miriam was doing. They was thanking God because they could not contain it. When they compared where they were to where they used to be, they could not contain. They had to worship God and give Him the praise. If He's been good to you today, get out of your seat and come up to the front of this church and just stretch your hands towards heaven. John said, Jesus said in the book of John, He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace." In the world, you're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have hardship. But in Me, Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace. There's a peace that surpasses all of our understanding today. God is looking for some thankful people today. He said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Listen to me today, church. If He overcame the world and we are in Him, then we have overcome the world also. If He overcame the flesh and we are in Him, we have overcome our flesh also. Come on, the Lord has been good to us today. You're permitted to speak for yourself today. What are you going to do? What are you going to do before your family? What are you going to do before your friends? What are you going to do before the world that you live in? Are you going to be reminded of your previous position, or are you going to praise God for where He brought you from? He's worthy of our praise today. You're permitted to speak for yourself just like Paul was. Be thankful that He brought you out of your previous position. And He brought you into your current condition. God is a good God. Let's love Him all over this house today.